Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fire Emblem Podcast. It has been a long time. I think this is kind of season four, episode two. We'll call it take two because I actually tried to record episode two once upon a time, and then it just didn't happen. But anyway, the person you can blame is actually not me, Blazer. It's actually my co-host, slash underling, Shu.
You know, I feel like we open up every podcast we make with, man, it's been a while since we had a podcast, because we make them so infrequently.
I mean, not no, but that's kind of what I'm trying to fix, hopefully. I also say that every time, too, and it never happens.
Dude, we're just spinning
out. I'm like, don't worry, guys. You know, like, 2 weeks from now, we're going to get the next episode out, and then, like, I'll, like, maybe try and record an episode, and it just kind of go off.
Maybe we should. We shouldn't promise anything. That's why the expectations are so low. So no matter what we do, it'll be a pleasant surprise.
You can't go wrong when your expectations are low. Pretty much if you get anything, you're happy, right?
No, exactly.
Speaking of expectations, I did not expect a new Fire Emblem character from that latest Direct, which is actually quite a bit ago, we know. So basically, we are recording this the day before Corrin is coming to Smash. And basically, if you don't know, you should Google it right now, because we're going to be talking about Corrin, the main character slash avatar of Fire Emblem Fates. Yes. AKA that game that's not out yet, right?
And what I was telling Blazer before we recorded this is that There's also a 3DS coming out that's like a special Fire Emblem Fates edition, right? You know, and with all the once Bayonetta and Corrin got announced for Smash, I was like, okay, fine, I'll buy a 3DS XL because I didn't have one for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was putting it off. I mean, I always figured like I was gonna get one, but I just kept walking into stores and then walking right out without a 3DS XL in my hand. And then, so a couple weeks ago, I finally, you know, pulled the trigger on one of them. Bought it at a Best Buy, and then this new special edition Fire Emblem Fates 3DS XL is announced, and I'm totally being left out to dry on that. It doesn't surprise me at all. I think most gamers actually have that experience where they buy something and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had that plenty of times. I'm pretty sour. The worst case of it is when I've actually bought a game and then not played it, and then they, like, announce, like, either, like, a huge price drop, or they just announce, like, a remastered version coming to, like, a newer console, and I'm just like, oh, well, crap. Like, I bought this game for nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like, I haven't even played it, or I played it for like 5 minutes and I'm just super sour. But yeah. I mean, you just can't know that stuff, because like Nintendo announces it when they do, and like you don't know if they're gonna announce it, and it's like, hey, you announce it like what, like 3 weeks before the game's coming out? Like, a lot of people will have already bought 3DSs in anticipation, or already have 3DSs, you know, like, so I don't know, there's kind of limited appeal in that regard.
Right.
I mean, some people will just dish out the extra money for a new 3DS, but I'm like, I mean, I've done that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, haven't you done that before?
I did that with the Awakening 3DS, which I was super hyped, because basically it was like, oh my gosh, we haven't had a Fire Emblem game since Shadow Dragon, and I basically don't acknowledge Shadow Dragon, just because...
Oh, I remember.
I mean, I just didn't find it that fun. So basically I was like, oh my gosh, it's been like 6 years, like I need to have this Awakening 3DS. You know, it was pretty much just like a relapse with a Fire Emblem. So yeah, I did that. But I mean, most people aren't going to buy it. I'm certainly not buying the new Fates 3DS. I do like that they're going for more like, what's the word? Like subtle, kind of tactful design there, you know, as opposed to like showing the characters. But mm-hmm. That's just me, you know, I prefer like the, you know, the kind of texture design thing, but doesn't stand out too much, but...
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, like I said, if I didn't already have bought a 3DS XL, I definitely would be signing up for one of these.
Bad boys. Oh, for sure. Yeah, that aside, that's actually not why we're here to talk, right? So, Corrin, Smash. He's coming tomorrow afternoonish slash the 4th, which is actually, I believe, the day that Fire Emblem Awakening came out in North America about 3 years ago.
Ooh, callback.
Not mistaken. So yeah, he's coming out soon, and we actually got treated to not just the video from a while ago kind of introducing him, but also some gameplay videos showing him and Bayonetta. So shoot, give me the lowdown. Like, what do you think so far? You know, you've seen him, you know, flinging his sword around, right? Yes, he is a sword character. I know, we don't need to complain about that. We've heard that. He's the 15th billionth character, sword-wielding character. But aside from that, like, you know, what are your first impressions?
Well, you know, I actually really like sword characters. I don't know why. I think it's sort of nostalgia for me. Back in when I would play Melee, my favorite characters were always Link, Roy, Marth, you know.
So, oh, yeah, for sure. Same.
I'm a big fan of sword characters. I'm really excited to see. It looks like see, one thing that I noticed is that I don't even really know what you would compare him to in as far as the rest of the characters go. Like, my mind immediately jumps to Robin, but at the same time, Robin was a very mystical magic type character, and I'm still not getting that exact vibe from Corrin. Maybe like a weird mix between Shulk and Robin, who knows, but I don't think we're gonna be able to really pin that down until we get our hands on the character.
Nah, I kind of get you. Robin's more of like a projectile-based character for a lot of people. You know, he's all got all those like spell varieties, and like, yeah, he has a sword, but the sword's kind of got like crappy range. Whereas Corrin, I noticed with his attacks, his range has got like more like Shulk's range, or even I guess kind of like Ike's range. So better than Roy, because Roy has his like, you know, like butter knife basically, right? His sword is even shorter than Mars now. So I mean, like, yeah, like, basically we have like every single possible variation of sword length that's not like longer than Cloud Sword or shorter than Roy Sword, basically. But actually, his forward air reminds me somewhat of Cloud. You know, his forward air attack is basically just like aha, another air slash, right? And then the same thing with his up air, which supposedly now forward air combos into up air. Someone mentioned that. for people who are into that, you can apparently combo forward air into up air. I don't know if it's a true combo or whatever, but yeah, his normal attacks seem like pretty standard. Like, hey, I'm pretty much just like swinging my sword around, right? Like the down tilt's just like, hey, it's a low sword swipe. So I guess in that regards, it's not too creative. But what about the specials? The one that first comes to mind is the counter, because it's the easiest to remember. Basically, every character except for Robin has it. His is that water based. So it looks like he has like a water theme to him. But what about his other moves? Do you remember what we saw?
Well, I remember thinking that I remember finding it interesting that his final smash is it's not quite like the other Fire Emblem characters in the sense it's more like a Captain Falcon final smash in the sense that you just hit him once initially, and then there's the cutscene kill essentially.
Kind of like Roy's. I don't know if you've seen Roy's, but basically it's like you hit him to start with, right? But I think his kind of surrounds him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward final smash, all said and done. So I'm looking at the moves now, just in case you don't remember. So it looks like his special attack, his B attack, momentarily paralyzes opponents. And I remember seeing that at the beginning of one of the video footage. And I'm pretty sure this stuff was also shown when he was like first introduced, but like that was ages ago. So that kind of reminds me of Zero Suit Samus's, I forget the official name, but like her paralyzer gun. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know, in a way that doesn't seem that creative, but apparently it can hit more than one opponent at a time, so I guess if you're into team battles, that's a thing.
Yeah, that would be, or you know, do what everybody does and then just wail on level 9s, because they have no friends. It's like, oh, let's be real, that's probably how people are going to use them.
I mean,
he was him, her, sorry.
Him, her. Yeah, him, her, she, he. I'm pretty much just calling Corinna him just because it's very annoying to say him, her, or them, or whatever, like, every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But yeah, alright, he's an avatar, she's an avatar, so we have get both genders, and blah, blah, yep. They're, Nintendo's way better than Ubisoft, because they're actually willing to make female characters.
Oh, Blazer, throwing shade!
No, that's not me, that's just a common joke that people made that back with Corinna. Okay. Pretty much any, like, I shouldn't say any time, it's, like, died down quite a bit, but, like, for a bit, like, any time someone would make, like, a female character, especially Nintendo, they'd be like, oh, like, what about Ubisoft?
Yeah, Ubisoft? You know?
People just give Ubisoft such a hard time.
Oh, they do. That's for sure.
Their games are still fun sometimes, though. So, yeah, you know, the big corporations are the bad guys, but, hey, mm-hmm. They're not all bad.
Well, let's not dive down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's not, right? I'm sorry. I get carried away easily. As a
no, no, yeah, you and me both.
Okay, but his side B is called Dragon Lunge. All right, so basically all his moves start with Dragon. which allows Corinne to pin opponents down with a downward thrust, offering up counter potential. I'm not quite sure what that means, given that he already has a move literally called Counter Surge that also counters, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. It seems okay, but what were you about to say?
Well, I think, I don't know, I just think he's really interesting with his move set, in the sense that it's very elemental, and then it's kind of, I don't know, like, it's a, I mean, none of the moves that he makes, I think, are anything that we haven't totally have never seen before, but mm-hmm. the combination of his moveset is, I think, very interesting.
Yeah, you're right. No, because, like, okay, we've seen the Paralyzer before, but Zero Suit Samus plays so differently from, you know, like, Shulk or a sword user, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, you're right, that kind of combination, and then he has this weird move that pins opponents down, and I kind of saw it, but I think I'll have to play with him to really get the feel for it, because it's like, alright, I pinned them down, but, like, how do I attack them now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, am I supposed to, have, like, you know, like, double team on them or something? I mean, that'd be pretty good for the two-on-ones, but how often does that pop up, right?
No.
And then his up B attack is called Dragon Ascent, which gets insane range. So apparently he has a good recovery. I think I saw that. It's like a water-based recovery again. I think Corinne can also kind of sprout wings, which it's very, very, very small spoilers. Basically, like, as soon as you pop into Fates, they pretty much tell you that, hey, Corinne is, like, part dragon and can, like, turn into a dragon or whatever. So, like, alright. Basically, you know, Nintendo's choosing to spoil you anyway, so don't be mad at us for saying it, right? I mean, let's be real. Nintendo's pretty much already spoiled the sword he uses and some of his techniques and, like, his critical animations, probably. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, like, Blazer passing the buck here right on the old Nintendo.
I mean, they did it with Roy, too, you know? Like, this isn't even the first time with Fire Emblem. They did the same thing with Roy. Like, hey, let's give him his, you know, Sword of Seals, and you play if he's 6, and you're like, oh, I'm just using this lame rapier. Like,
yeah, he was sword? Out there before Fire Emblem 6 even released.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Roy came out before FE6 even released.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you play FE6, and it's like, oh, like, where's my fire sword? I know I'm going to get it. It's just a matter of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is one of my favorite weapons of all time. But
yeah, no, it's really it's an awesome sword. I mean, Fire Emblem 6 is one of my favorite Fire Emblem games.
Oh, yeah, right. Pretty much both of us are huge Fire Emblem 6 fanboys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, how can you not be? Roy's our boy, dude.
Oh, for sure. Alright, we're getting sidetracked again.
No, yeah, oh, we did. But going back to Smash, I think that, like, what we're kind of seeing with, and Blazer, you can probably jump in on this if you want. What we're seeing on the DLC characters in Smash is that they're all really pretty good, to be honest. Because I was playing around with Cloud earlier today, like, in Smash. And he fucking kicks ass, man. You know? Straight up, like he's really good, and Roy's really good too.
Oh yeah, I was really impressed with Roy.
And I would not be surprised to see Corrin and Bayonetta also be pretty much ballers, essentially.
No, I mean, I saw, like, Bayonetta doing combos, and I'm like, alright, well, you know, like, A, it's gonna be awesome doing that, and B, it's gonna be suck getting hit by that, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But then, yeah, also Corrin, just, like, his moves come out quickly, relatively quickly, from what I saw. He's got solid range, he's got the paralyzer, like, he's got a counter, which is a little useful. I don't think Corrin's gonna be a top tier. I just don't think he has anything that's gonna like make him like broken, right? But I think he'll be like maybe around Cloud level. And of course, like whenever a character first comes out, basically like no one knows how to fight against them, right?
Right.
And so like you don't even like know the opponent's moves necessarily. So you're like still kind of learning, and it's like the character seems a lot more powerful than they actually are. Compared to the other characters, but I still think Corrin will probably be solid. Bayonetta might be better. Again, I don't really know. I mean, I'm a big Bayonetta fan, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, you're right. Like, the DLC is generally, like, aside from the returners, that's not Roy. I mean, like, Mewtwo and Lucas, kind of like, especially Lucas. Lucas kind of sucks, I hate to say.
Yeah. Man, sometimes I forget Lucas is even in the
Exactly. I think Lucas is, like basically the Kellum of Super Smash Bros.
No, absolutely. I almost as a joke, I wanted to say, what do you mean Lucas is in Smash?
No, I mean, like, yeah, I like, forget he's there, and, like, I used to play him a lot in Brawl, too, and I just, like, play him, and he feels different, and he's not that great. But, I mean, you know, Lucas is still my man. I'm an Earthbound / Mother fan, but, yeah, definitely, like, the most, like, not recognizable DLC release, I guess. Or at least notable. But anyway, so Corrin has been the chosen character, coming out for $4.99, $5.99 in both systems. We don't get a new stage, which I guess I'm okay with. We have 2 FG stages already, right?
Yeah.
We have 8 Fire Emblem characters, so, like, you know, the rest of the Smash fandom that isn't Fire Emblem fans are probably pissed off. They're kind of taking their anger out on us, maybe a little bit. And like, hey, I'm not Sakura, I didn't decide.
Yeah, really, exactly.
Which, funny thing, Sakurai actually said, he was like, yeah, like, I was hesitant about putting in another Fire Emblem character, but everyone reassured me that it was okay, and I'm like, no, you guys reassured him.
Who's everybody? Who's this everybody that's assuring you?
Yeah, you know, the people working with him and all that.
No.
But basically, the logic behind this new release it seems to be, okay, Fire Emblem Fates is coming out of the West. He's like, you know, it came out under the title Fire Emblem If in Japan. You know, like, let's advertise it. So basically, it's like Roy again, where they're doing, like, you know, a bit of marketing advertising, and it's also like, hey, this character's relevant, right? So, I mean, think about the other characters they could put in that they haven't already put in. They'd either have to put in someone, like, what, like, really old, right? Any suggestions on that? I can't even think of anyone.
As far as, like...
Like, okay, like, basically they're trying to include DLC characters, right? They're saying, like,
yeah.
Okay, characters they can do, so, like, not Goku. Characters... Right? Characters that are, like, relevant, and characters that aren't already in. So, like, honestly, in a way, I wasn't too excited about Corrin, because I was kind of expecting something, like, more, like, out there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh, like, the final DLC, you know. But, like, at the same time, I can't really think of anything.
No, exactly.
Else,
so. And this is... Honestly, this is how I thought a lot before Smash 4 even came out, is that... It's hard to come up with characters that are like Nintendo characters that you could put in Smash. Obviously, that you could throw a total curveball and then put Bayonetta in or Cloud in. Bayonetta's not a huge curveball, but Cloud, I mean, I don't know anybody who saw Cloud coming.
No. Actually, funny tangent. It's basically, I saw a thread and like somebody was like a few hours before, they're like, yeah, I heard from like my uncle who works at Nintendo, and he's like, oh, Cloud's gonna be in, and he said this like way before the direct, but uh-huh. it was like the same day still, and it's just like put up that thread, and then basically everyone's like, ah, you're funny, like, oh, I heard
yeah, I'm sure everyone's like, yeah, whatever,
and
it is
like actually correct, and then everyone like flipped, like, oh my gosh, this guy's uncle actually works at Nintendo. But yeah, besides Cloud, like, you were saying?
Like, I mean, it's hard to come up with characters from, like, Nintendo, I mean, Academy, I guess, for lack of a better word.
No,
Nintendo catalog that, I mean, isn't kind of obscure or, like, a cool character but not really an important character from a franchise that already has a presence in Smash.
Exactly, like, right? But, there's so many factors. You're like, oh, if you include, like, another Pokemon, okay, there's, like, a ton of Pokemon to include, right?
I'm gonna tell you.
People will be mad. They're like, oh, we already have, like, 7 Pokemon, right?
Yeah, no, so, I mean, like they could put Slippy Toad in. That would have worked, but who wants to see Slippy Toad?
And I mean, I remember one of our punk friends was like, yo, like, Villager, like, he's not even a fighter, he shouldn't even be in, right? So, like, for some people, they're already kind of, like, stretching it, you know, pulling in, like, the certain characters. I mean, I don't really agree. I think it's, like, hilarious that the Villager is a fighter in Smash, but...
Yeah, like, it's a party fighter. There's a huge, like... professional presence with Smash and competitive presence with Smash, but it at the end of the day, I think most people just play because it's a goofy, everybody can play at one time. Literally everybody can play at one time. Eight player
Smash.
and just divulge in the chaos on the screen. And that's, I think, the main reason why Smash Brothers has been so successful over the years. And they have to cater to that aspect of the game, I suppose, and that's why there are characters like Villager in there.
Yeah. But basically my point was that, you know, like, for some people, they've already kind of pushed out there, right? They've already kind of milked every notable franchise they have. So the only thing is to kind of, like, hit with new characters, and it's like, alright, you know, when it comes to new characters, or characters with a lot of or rather series with a lot of characters that aren't like The Legend of Zelda, where the main characters are always like Link and Zelda and some other new princess, right?
Yep.
You know, it's like, okay, Fire Emblem usually gets a new main character every time, and they have all the supporting cast and stuff, right?
Yep.
So when you consider that, like, in a way, it's almost like a great place to get new characters. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying I like it, I'm just saying that's my, you know, trying to justify their logic.
Like, it makes sense. But I think another thing they could do, and maybe this might just be, I mean, if you know me, you know I've been a proponent for a new F-Zero game for a long time. And tell me how dope would it be if they announce a new F-Zero game and they come out with Blood Falcon or James McCloud or some schmuck from the, F-Zero franchise and throw it in there. I mean, Captain Falcon has been the only dude from the F-Zero series.
Exactly, that's the thing. It's like, they're not gonna put in a new, like, they're not gonna put in, like, Black Shadow, because freaking no one who's not part of my generation knows who he is.
No, exactly. No, definitely. I don't know. I think that there is a lot of room. I think going forward, we might not have this problem. Like you said, they're going to have to really rely on new characters for the most part, because they've kind of already picked out every notable character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we already have games like freaking, like, Kid Icarus and, I don't know, like, other things.
Like, how obscure is that?
I mean, it did get a new game recently-ish, but before that, it didn't have a game for, like, a century.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I don't know anybody...
Ice Climbers, when was the last time? I know they're not in anymore, but, like,
no,
still.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, though.
No, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. They'll probably, you know, mix it up with a few third-party characters, and there'll probably be, you know, some kind of stretches and that kind of thing. Well, there was actually a rumor that the NX might be getting Super Smash Bros. At launch, but basically people were thinking it'd be something like a... you know, like, slightly better graphics, maybe, like, slightly reworked online, and then it'd include all the DLC, and maybe be, like, $40 instead of $60, right? So basically, that'd kind of, like, push the NX, and then people who didn't get a Wii U and didn't get Smash for Wii U can say, like, oh, I can get an NX, and I can get, like, a new F-Zero game, because they're putting that at launch for NX, right?
Dude, perfect.
And we'll get the new Smash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one at a time. We're getting a new Star Fox, so that's progress.
Yeah, progress. Baby steps.
Baby steps, indeed.
Really? Come on, Nintendo. Do it for me!
I really do like that logic, though, because I actually, when, like, Lucas got announced, I was like, alright, this is their chance, like, put out Mother 3.
Earthbound's coming back, baby!
Quell everyone.
You know, just, like, people have been begging for, like, Mother 3 and a new F-Zero, a new Star Fox. Like, that'd be the perfect timing.
Yeah, it would. It would.
I put Final Fantasy VII on the NX, be like, yo, Cloud's in Smash, let's do it. I mean, Cloud hasn't even been on a legitimate Nintendo game, like, a game on a Nintendo system. He's probably been in, like, some, like, spin-off game or something, like Final Fantasy Explorers, which just came out. But, like, in terms of actual games... I mean, Final Fantasy VII and Crisis Core and Advent Children and all that stuff, like, not Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing to something like that would be the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which isn't on the Wii U.
Exactly, right. So, okay, it's not coming to the Wii U, and I kind of get that, because, like, the Wii U's not the most technically, you know, driven system or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, NX is supposed to be, like, super awesome. People are hyping it up to get it. They're, you know, they might end up disappointing themselves by, like, making their expectations unreal. But let's say the NX actually is super powerful. You know, why not port FF7 to it? You know, show some love and kind of make Cloud make a little bit more sense, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure people who, like, not big FF fans, and they see, like, oh, look at this, like, cool jacket, you know, emo swordsman with a big sword. You know, I want to play his game, right? But maybe they, you know, they don't have money for a PlayStation, so... Uh-huh.
And I do like the practice, though, of, I mean, what they seem to do is that characters in Smash, or new characters in Smash for new games, almost kind of double as a little, as like a mini marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've been doing that since Melee with Roy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because, like, for example, say your new F-Zero does get announced and they do put somebody like Blood Falcon in the game, I can see somebody going, oh, hey, this guy is like Captain Falcon, but he's a jerk. I didn't really pay attention to these guys before. They have their own game? Oh, I should try that.
Right.
But I can not. They might not necessarily look at it the same way if they add another Pokemon, for instance. Like,
mm-hmm.
You can only add so many Pokemon, people aren't gonna care.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Nah, I got you.
So yeah, I don't know. That's how I look at it.
All right. So actually, that went on a little bit longer than I thought, but I like that discussion. You know, it wasn't all Corrin. It was like, you know, some Corrin in Smash,
hey,
some just Smash.
Right? You know, me and Blaze, we like to keep it real, all right? We just loosey-goosey, okay? We don't have any set structure. We don't plan for these types of things. Just get on the mic and start spitting. Not really. All right.
I mean, not no, but yeah. But basically, so the idea is we'll have a new podcast in a week or so. Hopefully, whenever Shu and I get to play it. I'm actually a little bit, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, because basically I'm, like, gone all of tomorrow. I don't get home until, like, 12:30 in the morning, technically the next day, right? So I'm like, all right, I know. I either, like, come home and, like, try the new characters after everyone else has tried it out at 1 a.m., or I just, like, skip work or something just so I can, like, try out the new characters.
Ooh. Yeah, who knows? I hope your boss doesn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the greatest plot twist? Your boss is, like, secretly a huge fan.
I mean, I've actually, like, okay, so the funny thing is, like, one of the people on, and one of the clubs I'm on, like, basically is played one of my hacks, and, like, I told him basically, like, who I was, and he was like, oh my gosh, like, what? So, that was, I don't know, it was just super interesting. It was, got a little interesting there. Kind of trying to keep it on the down low, you know what I'm saying? You know, wear a hat and sunglasses, and, you know,
you're like you're a real celebrity, Blazer.
Yeah, you know, people look at me, they're just like, oh my gosh, that's Blazer, he made the last prize.
No. Oh, man.
No, not in a million years, I'm joking, guys.
Right.
But yeah, that's it for Season 4, Episode 2. No promises on Episode 3, you know, we talk up a big game, but...
Yeah, we definitely do. Let's look at it this way. Don't be surprised if there is another podcast in a couple days, but also don't be surprised if you never hear from us ever again. So.
Peace.
Peace.